I'm looking for a motion, please.
So moved.
I'm looking for a motion to reconvene that meeting, please. Rachel's moved it. Second, please.
I will.
The pregnant lady. Okay, then. The meeting is reconvened.
All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We're now back in public session.
I'd like to move on. It's hard to believe that this late at night, we're just moving on to the report of the school business administrator and board secretary, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the report of the school business administrator and board secretary. Mrs. Spitzer?
As we discussed in our presentation this evening, the budget workshop, our next budget workshop will be on March the 10th, which is 2 weeks from tonight here in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. We will have an additional special meeting on March the 17th for purposes of adopting the preliminary budget or tentative budget to be submitted to the county office. And our next regularly scheduled board meeting will be on March the 24th at 7:30 p.m. here as well. Before you is to approve the January 27th meeting, our special meeting on February 10th, as well as the executive session minutes for January 27th. On this board agenda, you will see both the November and December secretaries and secretary report and treasurer's report, as well as approving this month's bill list and transfers for both November and December.
That's your report. Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. I'm seeking a motion on BA 018 through BA 021.
Motion.
By Mr. McTiernan. Second, please.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Hand. Any discussion or questions for Ms. Spitzer, please? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
I'm sorry, I'm going to choke. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Are you okay?
No, I shoved that Twizzler in my mouth. Okay. I have to... Oh, no. Oh, the next one. Never mind, I'm good. No, no, I can't... I have to abstain from the executive session on January.
I'll live a little.
Oh, I'm on a different one? See, I ate that Twizzler and really got all confused. I'm good. Yes.
Abstaining from the January 27th executive session?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Do you need to also abstain from the January 27th executive
session?
No, I do not, actually.
Okay. I was invited. And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
All those in favor, the motion carries.
Okay. Moving on to our committee reports, Mr. Kevin Malloy is our chairperson of Facilities and Finance. Mr. Malloy, can you give your committee report, please?
Sure, thank you very much. Try and run through this quickly. Thankfully, Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer gave a very, very outstanding explanation of one of the items we're moving tonight, so I think we can dispense with the secondary explanation of that. So thank you, guys. Facilities and Finance has met twice prior to this meeting, and since our last meeting, we met on the 11th and the 19th of this month. I was not present at the meeting on the 19th, however, I was fully briefed subsequent to that by our board president and by our school superintendent. Via completion of some written correspondence. Topics being discussed in those meetings included a meeting with our architect of record to discuss the process of the next steps after receiving approval for application of ROD grants and going out to solicit bids for facilities and security upgrades. That is an item that you will see tonight on our agenda, specifically action item 145. Discussions regarding before and after child care as well as summer camps, that's item 137. Obviously a lot of ongoing budget work. We're in the very busy season, so there's gonna be a lot of work between now and when the budget is completed for the Facilities and Finance Committee. So a great deal of our time was spent working on that. As Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer did lay out, we do a zero-based budgeting process, which means every year we tear the house down and rebuild it. It's pretty much, for me, the only way to go. It does require a bit more time and commitment, but I think it provides a much better product to the community as our budget, since Mrs. Spitzer and Dr. Clark have come aboard, demonstrate. There is a, we had some discussions related to an action item, which was moved to personnel later this evening, but that would be some addition to our staff, a replacement, I should say, of our staff, which Mr. McTiernan will report out in his committee. And we had ongoing discussions regarding the appointment of the of a demographer that we believe as a facilities and finance committee we can recommend. So that's what the committee's been up to. There are 13 items on the agenda tonight that the Facilities and Finance Committee seeks to move, three of which I think we can pay special attention to. So I'll talk about what there are first. There's the payment of bills, there's travel and professional related to professional development for teachers and board members. There are evaluations and other issues related specifically to students with IEPs, and there are the main, well, I'll call it four items. The first action item, 137, is the recommendation of the Finance and Facilities Committee for the appointment of Work Family Connection for two, before and after care for children in summer camp. I'd like to say that while we are making this recommendation, we were very, very appreciative of the process. It was not an easy decision by any means, both fine organizations. The second item I draw special attention to is action item 143, which is the increase of extraordinary aid from the 12-13 budget to appropriate for capital projects as well as issues related to some of the damages we've incurred this winter. So again, Mrs. Spitzer, thank you for your detailed explanation about how we are able to do that. That makes my job much easier. Action item 144, it's a pretty large item, so I bring it to your attention, but it is hardware replacement for all of our doors. This has been discussed in prior public meetings, but for a lot of reasons, our buildings in the school do require updates to their hardware, some of which are matters of consistency and compliance, and some of which are for other matters. So that's being moved. And action item 145 is asking for the approval of our architect of record to begin soliciting bids for facilities and securities improvements for which we have received the nod under the applications for ROD or regular operating district grants. So with that, I seek a motion on action items 14FF134 through 14FF146.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
And then Dan, second. Does anyone have any questions for facilities and finance?
I have one. Mr. Malloy, on the interview process with the service providers for the aftercare and the wraparound program, did either of the providers discuss during the process how they supported kids from the district who might have special needs within their programs?
Yes, they did, actually. And I'll let Dr. Clark or Mrs. Spitzer or even Mrs. Grant want to weigh in. It was something that I believe the RFP was pretty clear about making sure that there was a mention of, correct? So, do we recall that?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I shook my head, that wasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry.
I was not here for the interviews.
Okay.
So but, I unfortunately can't.
But to your question, yes, it was addressed.
Any other questions?
Yes. Last year I served in the Facilities and Finance Committee, and I know the Y presented at that time, and I was able to hear their presentation as well. So I know a little bit about what they're coming here with. The board, the committee was recommending to stay with the current provider. Are there any specific matters or reasons why the committee is recommending this? I mean, could you give some explanation as to why, or give some insight to the full board as to what went into the determination? Was it financial? Was it status quo? You know, to enlighten the whole board.
Sure, and I'll look to you, Madam President. If any other members of the Facilities and Finance Committee are allowed to opine, I think we would encourage that. But I guess sort of shorter, yes, yes, and yes. Financial considerations were taken into account. Flexibility was taken into account. Understanding a certain amount of comfort and past performance was taken into account. Again, this was, you know, for my money, this was not easy. Wise to Find member, I'm a member of the Y, my wife, I mean, I got the key ring, the whole Megillah. At the end of it, in the final accounting, I think the committee felt that we were just probably more comfortable at this time recommending work family through really nothing that the Y, I don't think the Y necessarily did a bad job, or quite frankly, I think did a fine job, as did work family connection. So that's
okay. But was it more of a status quo? We just wanted to stay with what we had, and
I think we were afraid to
make a change for the future.
No, again, I don't necessarily think it's one thing more so than the other, but it's sort of an amalgamation of the various factors that we talked about. You know? And again, finance played a role in it. Flexibility played a certain role in it, and a certain amount of comfort played a role in it.
Okay.
I would agree with Mr. Malloy. There was no compelling reason to change. We looked at all the financial aspects to it, what both organizations worked, and again, it was very difficult conversations that we had, and we're just recommending to stay with what we have at the moment.
Okay, I mean, I believe that partnering with the Y would provide a win-win situation for both the Cleveland Township School District and for the Y's exemplary presence in the Hunterdon County community. I mean, I believe since 1903, if I'm not mistaken. That's a heck of a long time to have a presence in a community, and they continue to go strong. And I just believe the future of this program will best be served by the Y's partnership with the Clinton Township School District, as well as the entire Clinton Township community, in providing childcare, in providing the childcare provider moving forward.
Thank you. I think it'd be fair to say that the Facilities and Finance Committee discussion was a little bit of a collegial combativeness, in that there were individuals on the committee that were all making positive comments, depending upon what we looked at, on both of the organizations that did excellent presentations. I think when you look at the presentations, or when I look at them, the differences were not hugely significant. There was not a major weigh-in that would encourage one to say no to either. I think the committee would fairly be able to say that we'd be comfortable with both. There were some intangibles that led us to believe or to support staying with the existing organization, with some concerns, and I would underline a concern of pending final facilities use contract agreement is a significant one to make sure that the organizations are on the same footing. But to your comment, Mark, the why being part of the community was strongly taken into consideration and viewed very, very positively. At this point in time, as a member of that committee, it just didn't seem to make sense to make a change at this particular point in time. I think I would echo that with the individuals that have come up here and spoken in support of work family, that some of the issue or decision making that took place there was the potential disruptiveness of moving from one organization to another at this particular point in time. So it was a pretty healthy discussion. It was not a discussion that took 5 or 10 minutes. I would say we had at least 45 minutes to an hour in discussing the two alternative proposals, which are very similar, both of them having intangibles and tangibles supporting each of the organizations. And I would say it was not initially a unanimous vote, but they think the committee has come together to state that it does support one organization.
Well, as a former member, I'm aware of the dynamics of each entity, and I just wanted to know the current situation as it stood. So I appreciate that. I just think that the reputation, they are the New York Yankees of their field. So that's just my opinion.
I'd also like just to make a couple of quick comments about this. I want to support finance and facilities, but I have to strongly disagree with them on this instance. The Y program is located in my school district, which is Tewksbury Township. I know respectfully a teacher had spoken that back in the 1999, she did she saw a lot of why people or workers just sitting there and kids not being engaged, and I have to strongly disagree with that. At my school, children are engaged all the time. We have, whether it's the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the high school kids coming down and doing different athletic things for our elementary age students during the aftercare and before care time period. We also have homework time where the workers at my school have been excellent that if they're not understanding the curriculum at hand, they'll pull in one of our teachers, and one of our teachers is diligent to come in and speak with them. There's just something about the why, and you know, we look at our communities, you know, our mission statement about raising children to be givers to our community, and I look at the why, and that's what they promote. They promote that a lot. They promote the children to go out and serve their community, be respectful to one another, be respectful to their schools. I mean, that's like a huge thing. And I can only say, too, to the fact that as an extended school worker, and a prime example was that the Y had Eyes of the Wild come in. They knew that our extended school year was going on. They invited our entire extended school year to attend that presentation and never turned to us and asked us for anything. You know, never asked us for, you know, to contribute to it, nothing. They have always been very welcoming in the Tewksbury District. And I know that sometimes the unknown can be scary. It's almost like having a first-year teacher. It's that unknown and the transition. But I know we transitioned in Tewksbury, and our children made out fine. They've been fine. They just like here, if that came to the P, people would come up and say that the kids love going to the Y. I mean, they don't want to leave the Y. But I do have to say, too, as a community outreach, there's a newsletter that goes home. They had a fair in the fall where kids were invited, and you didn't have to necessarily have the key ring to go. You could go and enjoy the great fall festivities that they had. It's just a disappointing thing because I would have liked to seen it. And even with Mrs. Shanklin and respecting her great program, I think, too, the Y would probably be interested in doing something similar to that. So that wouldn't be lost in that aspect. I can't speak for them, but I can't see them just turning away that program because they want a smooth transition. I don't think they'd ever want to interrupt something that, you know, is going on. But I would have liked to really seen them come in because I think they're a great, great organization with a lot of character and offered a lot to our students.
I think Mrs. Federano makes a great point. Change, we can't be afraid of change. You know, we need to be visionaries of what's best for the future. What provider is going to give us the best future with this program? And the YMCA, we talk 1903. They haven't been around this long. There's a reason why they're successful. They're a class organization, not taking anything away from our current provider, but they got their act together, the Y. It goes beyond, it goes to the entire community. It's a whole different ball of wax, and we need to look for the future. We shouldn't be a status quo, afraid of change board. Change is difficult, and I appreciate what Dan says. You know, sometimes we don't want to disrupt the apple, but it can also provide us with an opportunity for the future. And in going with the why, that may be our best partnership. We have to look at that, too. We should.
Did Finance and Facilities, like, reach out to any other districts that had the why to see? You know how, because you know.
Both organizations provided references at other districts.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
I want to be abundantly clear. This is not necessarily a rejection of the why or what they offer per se. This was an extremely difficult decision, and when you make a decision of this magnitude, you need, as Mr. McKiernan correctly and eloquently put it, a compelling reason to change. I think the why is fantastic. However, at this time, we saw no compelling reason to make a switch. Work-Family Connection has performed to date.
Yeah. And this is the last second go-around that they've presented to the board, and we've twice have not chosen to go with them.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Malloy, my only interactions with the Y have been as a board member. I don't belong to the Y, but they've come before us several times over the past few years, once about land use on Gray Rock, twice about the aftercare program, and then once, and it might not have been before us, maybe I had read it, about the offer to provide free services to our seventh graders. I've just formed an opinion about them as an entity, that I've liked the way that they've conducted themselves in their interactions with the board, Mr. Black and a couple of his board members. And for me, that's really what swayed me, is just how well they conducted themselves in the discussions we've had with them on different topics over the years. They've always been very positive. And I see them doing other things in the community. So for me, I would like to reward that by any way we can. And in this issue, it would be by linking them more closely to our schools. I would be in favor of having them be the provider for the aftercare program. And granted, the proposals, I'm sorry, Mrs. Bertram, I read the proposals both cover to cover, and to Mr. McTiernan's point, they are very, very similar.
They were fantastic, both of them.
And financially, you really could not make a case one way or the other. They were so close financially. And there were some nuances. You know, some had some positives and negatives. The others had positive and negatives. They were very close from a content and financial standpoint. I agree.
Any other comments on any of the action items 134 to 146?
Okay, one more thing. What makes me nervous is the compelling reason we would have to go with another. I don't understand that. What compelling reason do we need?
So what I usually, for my personal, and I'll let others opine, my personal definition of a compelling reason, let's say when I apply it to my private sector experiences, provider A, provider B. Provider A is an incumbent provider. Provider B is a non-incumbent provider. Provider A has done a good job, but there is a bidding process and there is a fact and spot checking process. To make a change usually requires the unveiling of some good service practice or policy that I wasn't getting prior with my incumbent provider at the time. And again, Work Family and the Y were very thorough and very outgoing and very open and honest about what they can and do provide. So that to me is what I would call compelling. Again, I think the Y is an absolutely amazing organization locally, statewide, and nationally. Having said that, Work Family Connection has served this district well, and there was simply nothing per my definition of what I would consider compelling that I think would warrant a replacement of Work Family at this time. We do have our concerns. Dan mentioned them quite clearly. So that's what I would mean by that.
So there's nothing compelling, but there are concerns.
I don't think that's what Ms. Molloy said.
No, I think we do have one concern about the finalization of the facilities contract.
Saying, but, you know, there are concerns. Okay.
But it's really... It's a finalization of a contract.
Right. Anything else? Yeah. Okay, Ms. Spitzer, can we please take a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
No on 137. Yes on everything else.
Mrs. Hand?
I need to abstain from 137. Yes on everything else.
Mr. Molloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
No on 137, yes to the remainder.
Mrs. Verderamo?
I have to abstain from 134 and no to 137.
And yes. All others?
Yep, yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
I have to abstain from 135 and yes to the rest.
135? She's board
sorry.
Travel.
She's and all others, yes?
Yes.
Did Kevin abstain from 135?
Mrs. No. Spitzer, I'm on
135.
You need to abstain. I'll abstain from 135 because my funding for my training is on it.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Okay. The abstention counts as a no. So we're 5-4, appointment, and 137 passes. All others, yes.
What was it, 5-4?
Well, it's 5-3 with one abstention.
No.
With the abstention.
It was 5-3 with one abstention.
Okay, moving on to the committee report of our personnel negotiations. Mr. McTiernan is the chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan?
Yes, we have 16 items up for approval in here. We have a resignation and also the ending of a contract. Feel sorry to see the language in there. I know that that's school language terminating the contract, but we've seen the end of our contract with Dr. Harold Tariff, who I think has done an outstanding job for us in an interim period where we're looking to bring on a director of special services, which we've now done. And we expect great things from that person to help us really move forward in a lot of areas. Yeah, no pressure on there. We have a couple of leaves of absence that we're approving. Unfortunately, we also have four FMLAs, unfortunately, because the individuals have to leave to go out and take care of very ill individuals within their families. We do have the opportunity, and I might ask if Dr. Clark wants to comment on this also, to approve a new superintendent of building and grounds. And I think Mr. Malloy mentioned earlier is that when you look at the buildings that we're taking care of, some of them were built in 1955. This is our new building or our new structure. This building is 7 to 8 years old, depending upon what you're looking at and when construction began. We're looking at a lot of pieces of equipment within the facilities that need to be taken care of. And we have a choice either to bring talent in that can take care of that and also teach the rest of our staff or train the rest of our staff in some maintenance procedures, or each time the heat goes out, the air conditioning goes out, something fails, there's an overage in power, we can go out and hire on a new firm or bring in some contractors to do the work. We've elected to bring in what we think is a very talented individual. This individual also comes with a history in the Clinton Township School District, in that this is a former student of the Clinton Township School District. Comes with, I think, 11 or 12 years of service on building and ground, currently in the Hackettstown area. Ronald Marinelli, we're hoping to come on board to help bring up our staff. We've been operating very lean over the past couple of years. That's starting to show a little bit in the maintenance on some of our buildings and some of the equipment in our buildings. We really need to shore that up and have great expectations for this individual. Dr. Clark, anything to add that I might have missed there?
Gosh, you covered just about everything, Mr. McTiernan. I'm very excited about bringing Mr. Marinelli on. I want you to know that he did want to be here tonight, but he's a very hands-on worker, and he gets up very, very early in the morning. And I told him that I would love for him to meet the board, but that we had a very full agenda tonight. He anxiously wanted to be here, and I advised him that we would not get to his motion till much later in the evening. For a man who's up at 4, I thought it might be wiser for him to take care of his business, and we would meet him another time, and I would bring him before the board. But I'm very excited about him coming on. I think he has a lot to offer, and he knows all about the new middle school and the technology involved in it, which is very different than what some of our older buildings have, and he knows about them too. He's walked the roof of this building and knows a lot about what's there and what's not there, and what we need to improve upon. So he brings a great deal of knowledge to the district, and I'm very pleased that we were able to convince him that he wanted to come home and be with us. And he is a graduate of Round Valley School.
And he's also pretty skilled at identifying, applying for, and receiving grants. So
yes,
there should be some monetary benefits in the maintenance field on all of our schools here, which are in dire need of.
Yes, one of the recommendations I got on Mr. Marinelli was that not only earns his keep, he's a quality person as well as a top-notch employee, and he does so much for the district in terms of money-saving ideas and applying for grants that maybe not in the first 6 months he's here, but by the time he's here for a few years, he'll help us bring back his salary. So I think that's a very good thing for us to strive for.
We also have item 169. Last week, Bobby Philippe called an emergency meeting of the DAC committee, and it seems that the state has provided an opportunity for all school districts to waive some portions of the evaluation processes for some of the teachers here, specifically tenured teachers. Is that we could reduce their evaluations, I believe, Dr. Clark, by one, rather than doing three. These are for experienced teachers. What we're doing is applying for that waiver, as many schools have done that, and it has to do with the burden that's been placed, the unfunded burden that's been placed on our administrators, the time element involved in doing these evaluations, utilizing and making good stead of the equipment presented. So we'd like to put forth that recommendation that we apply for a waiver to the state, and hopefully they would grant that, provide us with just a little bit of relief in that process in our first year of moving forward. Additionally, we've got three approvals here for an athletic advisor, a substitute lunch aide, and also some anti-bullying specialists, and then some changes in dates for student teachers that are coming on board. So with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve these 16 items under PNN.
Motion.
Kevin Malloy.
Second.
Rachel.
If you don't mind, I'd just like to share that I did just, we did do a survey with the staff that was overwhelmingly in support of us applying for this waiver. We did consult with them, and I talked to a number of districts. They made a decision on their own, and I will tell you that what my feeling was that the DAC committee was designed to have input into this process, and I did not feel that bypassing them and excluding them from the process was the correct way to handle this. That if we are respecting the committees we're forming, that we should respect their opinions. And right now, the total of observations and evaluations that we're doing, not including administrators, just teachers, is at 579. This waiver allows us to cut down 135 of them, only for tenured teachers, not non-tenured teachers, only for tenured teachers. It eliminates like the third round observation. They've already had multiple observations, which would bring us down to 444. So you're taking it, if you think about it, it's a minimum of 4 hours for each evaluation, and sometimes it's 4 hours, sometimes it's five or six. You're really cutting down the amount of hours, and it's, I'm going to talk about it in economic terms, it's opportunity costs for the other things that you want our administrators to do. I do not know if we'll definitely get the waiver. I'm hearing that most are being granted. However, you never know if they'll grant it or not. This is just approval for us to apply for it, and I'll keep you informed on whether or not they give it to us.
You know, important to add to that, too, is that in the DAC committee meeting, which is primarily called to discuss this, there was a heavy discussion, and I think full support from all of the teachers that were in the room as they've seen the quality of the evaluations that our administrators have done, both from the setup, the evaluation itself, and also the feedback. And as Dr. Clark already mentioned, they did ask and did go out to all of the teachers in the community to vote on it. And it was, as Dr. Clark mentioned, it was overwhelmingly in support for this. So this is not something that was lightly taken or that was said, hey, let's just go do this. It's a way to move things along. It was well discussed in depth and almost 100% supported.
Can I ask a question, Mr. McTiernan? listening to what you just said, Dr. Clark, why wouldn't a district apply for this waiver? It seems, you know, you're going to earn hundreds of man hours. It seems even instituting a waiver process just seems like an extra step. Why don't they just grant it universally across the state?
We were told initially that these waivers would never be considered. Never. All right? So when this process started, we were told this is what you have to do. There will be no changes. Make it work.
But I just can't understand why any administrator said, don't take away my 200 man hours of evaluation.
Kevin, I think to answer your question, though, is a little bit different when you look at our school district versus others. And this was part of our discussion in the DEAC committee. When you look at the quality of the teachers that we have, what they're delivering, there's not a big risk to the board to waiving some of these evaluations. Were we in an underperforming district or a medium-performing school district?
There you go.
I don't know that as a board member I'd be willing to support that.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that was part of the discussion that we had, and that's really what I think swayed everybody, was the quality of the evaluations to date, and also the quality of just the performance of the students and the schools as a result of the efforts of our teachers.
Gotcha. You're on point tonight.
I think it'd be also interesting to see how many other districts are doing as thorough a job as our administration is doing in getting all these evaluations done. And if I had to bet some money, I would probably bet that they're not doing the thorough job that our administration is doing. So why would they apply for it if they're not covering all their bases?
It is a very, very challenging process. And I will tell you, our administrators said to me right from the beginning, they looked at the numbers and gasped and then said, okay, Dr. Clark, we're in it, we'll do it, we'll make it happen. And that's what they're doing. However, I would say to you that each of our administrators, they're getting sick, they're exhausted, they are not doing these hours during school time. They do the observations and the pre-observation meetings and post-observations during school time. But I know, because I'm online when they're online, all right? And they're doing those write-ups at home. And I know it's a running gag in my house that the laptop's on my lap all the time. Even if I'm watching the Olympics, I'm telling you, I turn the volume off and I'm trying to write. It's become very, very challenging. And what I'm concerned about is I'm concerned about burnout of our administrators. Close your ears, because I love you. I'm concerned about burnout of them and them getting sick, because they're the kind of people who push to get it done. But I'm also concerned long term. And if you keep pushing to try and meet these state mandate obligations, you're going to lose the quality and the whole point of it. There are many wonderful things about this evaluation process, all right? I don't love everything about it, but there are good things about it that can really move positive instruction. However, if you pile them up so high and you've cut back on administration, you can't meet the obligations. And I'm telling you that I'm at all the county and state meetings. The districts cannot meet these obligations without hiring multiple administrators, additional administrators. And it's going to be very challenging to do this in the future. I think that's why the waivers have come up right now, because everyone knows that. If you get one administrator who's sick, just all you need is one in a district like ours that's pretty lean, and you all of a sudden you can't keep up with them. You just can't, because there's too many to make up.
Well, and also too, is that even though we're applying for a waiver, that doesn't mean that waiver is going to apply to a marginally or underperforming teacher.
Yeah.
And also, if you have a high-performing teacher and that teacher elects a request, that they do be evaluated, that request would be honored. So the waiver doesn't mean they all just completely go away. Is that we've got to make sure that we're maintaining that high level of performance and that we're doing everything we can to support it.
Yes. It does not negate any action plans or support programs for teachers, no.
It's a privilege.
Any other comments? Mrs. Spitzer, can we please have a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Peanut. Which one can I do?
You can do them all.
I can. Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Gagliardi, is it okay for her to vote on the waiver?
Is the waiver, can I vote on the waiver? 169.
The fact that she's a teacher doesn't affect this because she's not a teacher.
I'm married to someone who's...
Who's a teacher here.
Who's a teacher here.
And tenured.
I still...
It's fine. Okay.
It's not
yes.
Individual's compensation or status.
Okay. Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to the committee report or our policy and curriculum committee. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, would you please provide your committee report?
I will, and it'll be very brief because our committee does not have the opportunity to meet this month because somebody hijacked our meeting.
Hijacked?
No. And it snowed multiple times.
Did you ever catch that guy?
Not yet. I hear he's going to get a plane soon. A train or a plane?
A train.
We have tonight on the agenda five agenda items. The first agenda item is a second reading of policies that were brought up last month revolving around district technology, devices for staff members and pupils, pupil use of privately owned technology, acceptable use of computer networks, computers and resources, athletic competitions, and then regulations dealing with acceptable use of computer networks, computers and resources, prevention and treatment of concussions and head injuries. We also have an agenda item where we are going to finally have enough textbooks and social studies for all fifth and sixth grade students at Round Valley School, so that's very exciting. We have two field trips. One is for the Golden Eagle Singers. We're going to be going to a Music in the Park and Six Flags Adventure performance. This is something I think that is a yearly mm-hmm. performance mm-hmm. that they've mm-hmm. done for several years, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
We also have some second grade field trips to Merrill Creek, which are directly tied to the science curriculum. And we also are going to be adopting goals from our February 10th meeting. And I'd also like to know if maybe Dr. Clark could...
Did a good job.
Did you do it?
That's
good.
Sorry,
I just want to see if Dr. Clark could elaborate on our goals for us.
On the district goals?
On the district goals.
Okay. I just got that's a different paper. Okay. When we had our meeting with Gwen Thornton, who is the field service representative, and she did district goal setting workshop with us and ethics training. We discussed a number of goals. I believe I sent them all to the
yes.
board members. Does everybody have a copy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And so we discussed a number of goals that we would set for the rest of the 2013-14 school year. So they relate to student achievement. Would you like me to read them all, or?
No, I don't think so. I just think they need to be available on our website so that the public can.
Okay, absolutely. I can place these on the website. We talked about a supportive environment for our students that enables all children to be productive citizens. And we also talked about engaging the community in a mutually beneficial partnership. So I can place these on the website, the board section of the website, when they're approved tonight. And then after that, the next step would be for me to meet with the administrative team, and we would set up action plans for these goals that we would attach, and then I would submit them to the board, and the board would, the board doesn't approve them, they accept them. So they would have to accept the action plans attached to these for the rest of the school year.
Okay, thank you. So with that being said, I'd like to move action item 14PC021 through action item 14PC025.
So moved.
I'll second.
Kevin.
Does Megan have to abstain?
She does, she knows. Okay, any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin?
I just wanted to comment on 24. I really like that write-up for that field trip. I was wondering, can I go? it really seemed like a good write-up and a good experience for the kids.
I'm sure it was excellent.
You probably did.
No, I did not.
Did you write that thing?
I did not. It had nothing to do with that.
Any other comments for Ms. McLaughlin? We have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petutto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Everything, but I have to abstain on action item 14PC024.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. We move on to the report from our kindergarten ad hoc committee. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee.
My report for this month is similar to my PNC committee report. Due to snow and a number of other issues in the district, we were not able to meet as many times as we would like. However, we are meeting tomorrow. So hopefully by the next meeting, I will have more information to share with you. We would like to thank the community for filling out our survey. We are going to continue to keep you informed as we follow our process. The committee is having a little bit of difficulty at this time getting some reliable and accurate data for the year. We need some more time to research issues like COA and the accuracy of our current census data. We are also looking toward getting some more different demographic information from the Facilities and Finance Committee when they've finalized their decision-making for hiring someone to work on that. And we will continue to work towards getting further information that will help us make an informed and accurate decision on whether or not to fund a full-day kindergarten program. So look for more information at our next meeting.
Thank you, Mrs. McLaughlin. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin at this point? Okay, moving on to our final committee report. Mrs. Verderamo is the chair of our communications committee. Mrs. Verderamo?
Sure, let me just get out my PowerPoint presentation. This will be short as well. We met on February 6th. Our main topic was how to, of course, communicate the upcoming budget workshops to the community. We talked about different ways in order to do that through the newsletter, through possibly looking at other newspapers, websites, all that good stuff. We also talked about getting our students more involved within the community and how we could do that. And I really think the committee came up with some great ideas, whether it's the senior Zumba, which I'm sure you know a lot of people will come to, or senior bingo. We had a tech night. We also talked about looking at the play and maybe doing a dress rehearsal for certain community members and offering it to them. So that's what we did.
Thank you, Ms. Verderamo. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mrs. Verderamo at this point? Okay. I'd like to move on to old business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old topics on school-related matters only. Anybody have any old business they'd like to bring up? Okay. I'd like to then move on to new business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions on new topics on school-related matters. Does anybody have any topics they'd like to bring up?
I just have one quick one.
It's very hard sitting here to see, like, Mr. Petuto, I can't even see that he's at this meeting. So I wonder if there's a way, and I know this room is particularly challenging with space, but maybe more of a horseshoe. I don't know if we can angle them a little bit more, just so I can see everyone and we can hear each other. I don't know if that's possible. Maybe moving the, podium, I'm not sure. Yeah. Just a thought.
Put us on risers.
I think the new microphones are working pretty well.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I kind of like them too.
They pick up everything.
The UN.
Dan.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah. Anyone else? No?
What?
Dan.
I'd like to open the floor for the second recognition of the public. Members of the community can express comments on school-related matters in this section. Please respect the three-minute rule. Approach the mic, state your name and address. Anyone else?
Lila Brennan, 21 Pound Drive. It's not really a question. I don't know what you have to do based on things, but it would be helpful to have some items on the website. Like, I know you guys are approving your second reading, and it'll be put up afterwards. I don't know how it has to work, but I can't comment on anything until... I couldn't bring something that I have a concern about if I don't see something beforehand, along with, like, the calendar. I don't know what days you're looking at having on, where you're starting, what you're doing. So I can't give a comment unless I've seen it beforehand. So that's just, I don't know if you guys aren't allowed to or how it is, but for myself, I would like to see things before the meeting if I can, so that I could better have an opinion. So, thank you.
I think the policies have been placed on the website prior to the meetings. That's been a request that we've had in the past, but we'll look into it and make sure that the ones that were presented tonight were on, but I'm pretty confident that they have been put on.
It seems like there's some sort of problem with different browsers and how you click into them. We were looking at that today, and we haven't figured it out yet, but we're putting it up there, and somehow some people who are trying to click into it can't get it. They're getting older policies, so I don't know why that's happening, but I'll talk to Mr. Weber, and we'll play with it and see what's going on.
But the calendar wasn't on the website?
No, the calendar was not on the website.
Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, moving on, Ms. Spitzer, would you please read the statement off for executive session?
Whereas while Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in an executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any bargaining agreement, including the negotiations of terms and condition with employees or representative of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Administrators Association. And whereas the length of executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action will not be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. Looking for a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
Seconded?
For a second.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session, time's 11:14.